Good morning, my fellow Commanders. Good morning, my fellow Americans. Welcome to the Grassroots Army Podcast, and I am excited to have Pastor Casper McCloud on today to talk about not only the clown show that's going on throughout the world, but also get into spirituality things and his journey and what he's doing. And the guy is pretty remarkable, that's for sure. But he is a guitarist, he's a singer, he's a songwriter, he rides horses, he's an equestrian, an ordained minister. And he's also has, you know, several best-selling books out there, and he's got a new album called Immortality that's coming out here in a couple of weeks. So welcome to the Grassroots Army Podcast, sir.
I'm delighted to be here with you.
Yeah, so I want to go back, number one, what got you involved in ministry? I mean, that whole story.
I was playing in a rock and roll band. I was on a major label on I was befriended by a guy named Phil Keggy. He's a Christian guitarist, singer, songwriter like me. And his manager actually came up to me and tried to get me under contract after he left his band. And so he basically ended up being my mentor. And I couldn't really quite understand how somebody could know the Lord Jesus personally at that point. I was hanging around a lot of intellectual circles. And I had a dramatic conversion. I've never been the same since. It happened in the early 70s. And so playing in music all those years and as a recording artist, and I ended up in the church, right? As they made me music minister. And then I was playing with some friends of mine called the Newsboys one night. And I walked off stage and ended up in ER, and they told me I was going to die from incurable heart disease. So my friend Peter Fullers, who's the lead singer of the Newsboys, they found out what was going on, and he's like, hey, you know, my dad prayed for a blind guy in Australia. His dad was a minister, and he received the sight. So it set me on a whole new journey, because the churches I was involved with at the time, like, you know, you might pray for somebody with a cold, but don't ask God for anything big. I mean, he's, you know, he's running the universe. He's busy. So it set me on a whole new journey. I used to hang out a lot when I was younger in Wells, and I came across the story of a kid named Roger that fell off a castle wall in Wells, a Conway castle. And it was like the 1300s. And he was a 2.5-year-old boy on... So the crowners, which ended up becoming called the coroners, you know, signed a death certificate. And then there's this Christian named John Wyman, I believe his name was, that came along. He said, can I pray for him? And they're like, you can do whatever you like. He's dead. So he prays, and he comes back to life. And he's up playing an hour later. You know, he just had a little scratch on his face. I thought it was that extraordinary. Just at that time, a friend of mine, it's a missionary, head of AIM, Adventures and Missions, Seth Barnes, had sent me a letter where a couple of missionary guys he was involved with came across a dead woman named Rose who was in her 20s in Africa. In Africa, you know, it's like you just believe the word of God or you don't believe the word of God. It's really black and white there. I mean, a lot of these guys come to, you know, study to be a pastor. They show up with whatever they're wearing. That's all they've got. And so there's an American pastor, evangelist, and an African one. And so they come across this dead woman named Rosa. And so they thought, well, we should pray for her. And to come back, it's what the Bible says, right? You know, heal the sick, raise the dead. And not, you know, so the American pastor goes, well, you know, I'll pray 5 minutes. If nothing happens, then God's not in it. And so the African pastor is just like, he just digs in. He's not giving up. He's praying like, you know, day and night, several days go, and he's just not giving up. The dead woman comes back. The entire village gets saved. So I ended up having my own near-death experience in 2001, and that really... I was called into the church I was attending, and they said that, you know, God had spoken to them and they wanted to ordain me as a pastor. So I jumped through all the hoops. I was thinking at the time, look, you know, I'm going to die anyways. I might as well die serving God.
That's a good plan.
You know, Why not? Yeah. So I got ordained, and a week later, the enemy tried to take me out in the middle of a praise and worship service. I'd gotten off all medications with the doctor's oversight, a doctor named Terry Allen in Montgomery, Alabama, that befriended me and weaned me off all the dangerous meds. In fact, she gave me a book called Dangerous Medicines, where it shows how 50% of the medications that they put you on actually do the reverse effect. You know, I mean, you know, follow the money trail, right? The
love absolutely 100%
evil, and right now they're not only piercing themselves with sorrow, but they're piercing themselves with unlicensed, uninsured, experimental substances.
Absolutely.
So I got ordained a week later. I was asked to play and share my testimony at a church where I started learning, basically, you know, the beginnings of the studies on epigenetics, and. I ended up dropping dead in service with my doctor there and a nurse that validated, you know, that I didn't have a pulse. And the pastor cast out a spirit of death. I had an out-of-body experience. And
can you go into that out-of-body experience, if you don't mind?
Yeah, I don't mind. I was playing... I was playing with the band because the plan was I was supposed to play, you know, the worship band, you know, sometimes because you have this reputation of being a virtuoso guitarist from the major label stuff, you know. So they're like, you're playing tonight? Can you sit in with us? And I'm like, I don't know any of music, but yeah, why not? So I'm playing with the praise band, and in the middle of it was maybe 400 people there at the time in the congregation. And my doctor came to see me, give my testimony. She drove, you know, like 3 hours or something, 3.5 hours. And she was sitting there with a mom who's from England as well. And suddenly, you know, the plan was I was going to play with the praise band. They were going to leave. Then I was going to play my solo original music and share a testimony. It didn't work that way. So I'm standing there playing with the praise band, and suddenly, my heart starts beating like 300 beats per minute, which it's not designed to do.
No.
And I heard an audible voice. So I've been in a lot of recording studios over the years. You can't just, now with DARPA and, you know, some of the technologies out there, you can do that sort of thing. But I heard this audible voice say, if you get off the altar now, you won't get healed. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, I was already healed. By stripes, I was healed. And I'm just refusing to fear this thing. I think guitars were like an extra appendage at that time. I just laid my guitar down. So I heard this, and half the praise band heard it, half them didn't. But it was like the celestial music started playing where when I stopped, it was like the Holy Spirit took over. And so some of the guys in the praise band, you know, like, wow, what's McLeod doing on guitar? That's really amazing. And they're like looking at me, and I you know, look white as a ghost. By the way, my name is spelled C-A-S-P-A-R with the Holy Ghost, you know, not the friendly ghost. So I didn't really know what to do. Like, can I interrupt, you know, everybody in the middle of praise and worship? And I just laid my guitar down, and finally I just walked off. There was an empty seat next to Dr. Terry and a mom. So I sat there, and, you know, she took my pulse straight away and went, you know, we tried medicine. Now we're going to have to just trust God. The other part of that equation, she didn't want to tell me what was going on because it would have just increased, you know, the adrenaline. And so she just kept taking my pulse every few minutes. And I was thinking, like, you know, what's the worst thing that can happen? I die. I go be with the Lord. Day of resurrection. I get a, you know, glorified body. With the time delineation with space and time, you know, I know it'd be hard for my kids and wife, but God would work it out. And so I just refused to fear this thing. And so the pastor was kind of like looking under his breath. He went, I'll deal with you later, because obviously I didn't do what the plan was. I didn't go along with the planned agenda. And so he preaches a sermon, and near the end of it, the other reason Dr. Terry didn't tell me was, you know, saying, you know, we've tried medicine, now we're going to try, you know, just trust God, was that the nearest hospital was probably 45 minutes away, and she didn't think I might make it that far. So he stopped the service, ended his sermon, and she's looking at me. We're only like 10 feet from the pulpit, and she's going like, you really need some prayer right now. So we kind of get up there, and he looks at me and goes, "You know you're healed." I'm going, "Well, I don't feel healed." And then he starts telling me about tissue memory and memes. And the nurse that was there was kind of like, you know, grabbing his arm going, "Bastard, do something." He slammed his Bible shut and go, "I know how to deal with this." And then I dropped it. And I remember falling, and then I thought, well, it's kind of weird, you know, because like I'm still standing, I'm still intact, but my body's lying there. How can I be in two places at one time here? But, you know, with quantum physics now, a couple of guys, Dr. Wyman, Dr. Hirsch, a Frenchman and American, have got Nobel Prizes for their work in quantum physics, showing that a proton, photon can be in two places at the same time. And Ephesians 2 tells us that, you know, that we're seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So I reckon if, you know, if we can do that, we can be in two places at the same time. If a proton can do it and a photon can do it, then even a moron can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, right. It's funny that you bring up like quantum mechanics and quantum physics and stuff, because a lot of Christians think that's kind of like a taboo subject.
Oh, yeah. They think it's New Age.
Yeah. And it's almost like it's interesting science. It's proving, you know, that God does exist. Right. And it's just going down a whole different kind of avenue of science and stuff. And it's actually starting to intermingle some of the things with faith and science. And it's actually proving everything that people have been believing for a very long time. Would you agree with that?
It's absolutely compatible with the word of God. It's just that a lot of people don't study to show themselves approved, and they don't really know, you know, or they think it's some sort of psychological warfare going on. But there's quite a lot. We can look at considering how quantum physics, it's also called quantum mechanics, it's totally messed up the concept of traditional physics. We applied it in the mathematics to it, and describing the behavior of matter and energy at a scale so small we can't hardly imagine it, which is now how, you know, I think we're looking at fallen angel technology with the nanotechnology going on. But I think quantum physics in theory, it would be rather difficult to explain in layman's terms, because but we, you know, Hebrews 11:3, you know, says through faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear, right? Well, wait a minute. We're going back now, looking at quantum physics through the lens. You know, faith is substance of things hoped for. So faith is actually an actual substance, evidence of things not seen. So why does that matter? I'm glad you asked that question.
Yeah. So,
because something which has mass and occupies space like matter, you know, is a substance. So quantum physics involves a higher level of understanding physics, in that said, it appears that much of what has happened at the quantum level is counterintuitive. I mean, it goes contrary to what your intuition, your common sense would indicate, because, you know, God's supernatural. And Christian, I mean, we believe, that's why, you know, the outsider, the unbeliever, the atheist, the agnostic, right? Agnostic meaning they're ignorant. They don't understand. Well, we believe that he parted the Red Sea. Peter, you know, Jesus walking on water, healing all the sick that were there. That's supernatural, right? So, for example, I mean, we pray in the almighty name of Jesus, someone's divinely healed of what the medical world has confirmed was incurable. However, the person's healed. I've seen numerous healings now, miraculous things over the years, and it defies logic. It perplexes the medical world, because it doesn't follow the same flow of cause and effect that you've been taught, you've been, you know, expecting in the natural world, because we don't live in a natural world. You know, John 17 talks about it, sanctify them with your truth, the word's truth, and there's a lot to it. I think typically physicists, they suggest understanding, you know, what occurs at a quantum level. It requires, you know, an exceptional grasp of mathematics and physics. And I'm sure there's something to that. But it reminds me of, you know, the CDC. Think about this. The CDC convinced people that you could be sick without any symptoms. I mean, that's a great trick.
Yeah, everything that they taught, what they believed in, what they wrote in medical journals and in their own, like, Dorland's Medical Dictionary, got all thrown out the window, and it wasn't true anymore. You know, let's hit on that, because you have a pretty good, interesting story that we talked about even before we got on today about, you know, when COVID happened. And, you know, and you're one of the churches. Did you shut down?
No, we didn't shut down. I was just thinking I probably should finish that testimony of the near-death experience, just because something. Well, he didn't tell us the end of it.
Yeah, right.
I had this out-of-body experience, and I said things after when I came back and we talked about it. They said, "Well, you didn't have a heartbeat when that was going. How could you know that?" I saw things in the spirit. I realized I was in another dimension. Coming back here was like a really rude awakening. At first, because language is almost like telepathic in the other side. Well, it is telepathic. And I saw the pastor speaking real authoritatively, like, you know, like one of those army sergeants in boot camp. And there was something sinister behind me. And then as he spoke to it, in the almighty name of Jesus, you know, it just vanished. And then there's this angelic presence around me. And it's hard to even articulate the sacredness of it. And so I came back, and I am lying on the floor, and I think, why am I on the floor? Why are these people around me? So my first words are, what happened? And Dr. Terry kind of leans close to me. She goes, well, that was spiritual warfare. Well, your heart stopped beating. And I'm like, what? You know, it says a rather shocking thing to come back into this dimension and discover that.
Can we go into the dimension? What did you feel? Did you have like an all-knowing kind of awareness about you? Did you feel connected? I mean, what was that like when you were in that state at that time? Do you remember?
Yeah, I do. I remember. I think I should always remember. Some of it. Is a bit foggy, but every word of God is true. That's what I know. Every single word of the Holy Scriptures is true.
And you don't lose that.
And you don't lose consciousness when you leave here. And, you know, it's like there's lots of cases. I thought that was unique when that happened to me, but then I discovered there's lots of people. I corresponded with people that were, you know, dead lots longer than I were, you know. So it was an extraordinary thing. I came back, and the next day I ended up praying for Dr. Terry's mum, who I mentioned was from England. She's kind of like, well, I would say, you know, upper class Brit. We don't show emotions, tip of a lip and all that. And so the Holy Spirit, you know, I've been ordained all week now, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I'm going to baptize her in the Holy Ghost. And I'm thinking like, well, Lord, you know, don't I have to teach a few hours first? And he was like, no, just pray for her. So I ended up praying for her on character. I didn't even tell her about speaking in tongues. She just naturally, you know, as I was praying, she just started worshiping the Lord in another language, and tears running down her face, which is, you know, totally out of character. I knew something supernatural was going on. What I didn't know until a week later was that she had tumors in her body that vanished at that moment. And I've been seeing miraculous stuff ever since. So, but I think you wanted me to talk about the eye exam that I had.
Yeah, like, so go in, like, number one, when you didn't shut down, did you receive a lot of negativity for that, a lot of flack for not shutting down during the pandemic?
Well, it's not that we didn't just shut down. We stayed open. We got banned for things I was saying. I shared about how they were using aborted fetal cell line in the injections, which was taking 292 elected aborted babies alive and then taking them out of the mums and doing terrible things and then sensitizing those down. And at the time, we had like 10,000 people watching us on Facebook alone. And so in Facebook on YouTube wrote me nasty grams saying, if you ever talk about these things again, we'll delete everything you've ever done. Now they've, you know, YouTube's deleted hundreds and hundreds of my sermons for, you know, over the little things. So you know, I would tell you is, we got to decrease, so the Lord increases in us. Psalms 119, I think it's verse 165 says, great peace have they which love the law, and nothing shall offend them. So I look at all these things that are going on, the Nazi raised Klaus Schwab and his World Economic Forum gang. You know, it's like Jesus hung on a cross saying, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. How many of the church are praying for them? I pray for them. If they're still redeemable, I pray for them to get saved. I wouldn't want anybody to spend eternity in hell. In fact, the Lord even tells us to love our enemies. I mean, most of the church doesn't want to do that one. Yeah, so we got these globalist, transhumanist, arrogantly declaring how, you know, advanced they are in their religion of science, and they're going to improve mankind with human 2.0. You know? They want to get rid of your body and convince you to get your consciousness in the software so you can be immortal. And there's that scripture that says, you know, men seeking death in that day and will not find it. So I think there's something, you know, quite a lot with the Rockefeller goose-step, lockstep, unlicensed, uninsured, gene-modifying nanotechnology with all the adverse reactions. It tells us, you know, it's like most of the churches are telling things are going to get better. No, they're not getting better. The Word of God says they're going to get worse and worse. And that's why if you're not saved, you know, you better get under the covering straight away.
What do you think their next plan is? What do you think the next big thing? Because obviously in America right now, it's election year.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to be the next kind of, oh, here we go again?
Well, they're already telling you. You got the guy that, you know, comes from the terrorist organization that's now the head of the World Economic, the World Health Organization, saying it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when the next disease X is, you know, released accidentally on purpose. And suppose it's something they're going to try to do before Donald Trump has a chance to become American's president again. So that's why the church should be praying against these things, not rolling over and complying with insane, draconian nonsense. You know, there's an experiment called the Milgram experiment. I wrote about this in our books, Solutions for End Time. It went to number one, was Baik ministering in England a couple of months ago. Dr. Sherry Tampany, Dr. Kerry Mulday, Dr. Lee Merritt, they all contributed to it along with some Dr. Michael Spaulding, who edited the book. We'd all been speaking in conferences for years, so I had this idea we should just all give our, you know, perspective on what solutions are. But I remember writing in the chapter I wrote about the Milgram experiment, which was designed for the obedience of anybody, you know, wearing a white coat. It was like the Nazi experiments, Dr., you know, evil himself, Dr. Mengele. It's all, you know, connected here. It was like back in the 1960s. I don't know if you're aware of this experiment. It was a social, psychological test in the 60s. And the goal of it was to find out the extent of a person's willingness to obey orders from an authority figure, you know, whether it was a good order or not. And so they had participants were told by the experiment to administer increasingly powerful electrical shocks to somebody they could see in another room in a window. And that was an actor, and the actor would scream, you know, when he saw the light up. There was no shock.
But wasn't the people administering initially, weren't they all psychologists? Because I'm familiar with that study.
Yeah. And psychology is based on the works, you know, the father of psychology is Carl Jung, who admits in his original writings that an evil spirit taught him everything he knows. He said, my spirit guide, Philemon. What is a spirit guide? It's an evil spirit. So an evil spirit basically constructed modern psychology. And then he did two more, you know, animus and animus. So for you to be a better man, you got to get in touch with your feminine side, and for women, to get in touch with their masculine. Well, that's ridiculous. The Lord said he made them male and female. He didn't make them combinations.
Absolutely.
So here there's like, you know, they would go up to hit the, you know, the actor, they didn't know it was an actor, with the, like, the bolts of the 450 volts. And it was like two-thirds, like 65% of the people in this experiment that were brought in, the listen to the man and the authority figure in the white coat, they went along with it. Just like we watched the church roll over and just comply with nonsense. But, you know, the strip joints and the marijuana clubs and the, you know, Walmarts, they can stay open because yep. they're essential.
And this is important for folks to hear. Even in that experiment, actually the volts would end up killing the person, and they still, the majority would just say, I was just following the authority. They told me to.
Yeah, just the authority person told me, yeah.
So yeah. And that's unfortunately what we witnessed firsthand, what we all experienced during the pandemic, is just this kind of following of this nonsense. And there's just a few people going, well, wait a minute. Same thing happened in Nazi Germany, right? With the Holocaust and everything else.
Like, so we're the Shadrach, Meshachs, and Abednego of today, right? You know, they wouldn't comply. They faced certain death in the fiery furnace. But, you know, that was an incredible story in Daniel 3. They would not comply. Now, even if our God doesn't save us, we're still not bowing down to your insanity. So go ahead, throw us in the fire.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because some craziness is happening throughout the entire world, obviously, but also in Canada. They're trying to pass a law right now that's endorsed by the tyrant Trudeau. I do not like that guy. And his government, they want to imprison people for life for speech crime. So if you go on social media.
In France right now, they just passed a secret law in the middle of the night when no one was there to oppose it. So if you speak out against the official narratives, you can be imprisoned and fined an extraordinary amount of money.
It's insane. And because what's their definition, of, especially in Canada, they talk about if you talk about genocide. Well, what's genocide? So if you stand up against the lockdowns, are you creating and advocating genocide? Or if you stand up against the mandates or the injection, is that considered genocidal? They're talking about putting these people in prison for life. And if they think that you may endanger society, they're going to put you under house arrest. I mean, this is happening in supposedly these free countries who are not free. And that's why I always tell everyone, you have to be, you know, aware of what's going on in the world, right? Because we talked about a lot of people are just ignorant. They want to continue to put their head in the sands. They don't want to face reality. And people have to understand, they have to stand up against this nonsense, or you're not going to have anything to stand up for, because by the time you want to stand up, there's going to be laws put in place to throw your butt in prison.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we're the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or go search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
Well, you know, we've really got a one-world government. It's called the UN. They've really got a one-world court. And last year, the Pope announced the one-world religion. I watched the summit. They didn't have one true Christian representative at that summit, but they went ahead and said, Islam is the new one-world religion. So how close are we to the return of Christ? You tell me.
Yeah, and I'm Catholic, and that Pope is hot garbage, that is for sure. And it's funny about censorship. I go live on all my platforms, several of them, obviously, and TikTok just took us down while we were having that. Literally.
Okay.
You can't make this stuff up. I mean, obviously, they do everything they can to prevent this truth from getting out. And it's just, it doesn't even surprise me anymore, Pastor Casper, that's for sure. So let's move into your album coming up, all right? So
right.
It's getting released when?
It should be out in maybe 4 or 5 weeks. It's called Immortality.
Immortality.
We've got another album out that just came out a little while ago called Higher Frequencies. And then I did a duet album called Outstanding in the Field with my violinist. It's just acoustic music recorded in 432, which is the healing frequency. Apparently,
yes.
The world is tuned to 432.
432, absolutely.
I believe all frequencies are of the Lord. I mean, everything is God's. He has it all. So, but we went ahead and recorded it that way. And we're getting some really amazing response from, you know, people telling us how anointed they feel the music is. And it's got healing properties and doing really well with it. So I'm excited to see the new album come out.
And you, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you said what album is in the 432?
Oh, it's called Outstanding in the Field. It's, if I have a copy here, it's all, hold it up. It looks like that. Oops. Awesome. I don't know if I get something like that.
Got it. And who is that lovely lady next to you?
That is Renee Truay. She's my musical twin.
Fantastic.
So we've been playing together for quite a while, and we've made, I don't know, we've done hundreds of songs at this point, it seems. So
obviously you're obviously very successful in many different aspects of your life, but what is your number one passion? Like at the top of the list, you like playing the guitar? Do you like to give speeches, write books? Like, what is your number one passion, would you say?
Spending time with the Lord's obviously number one. I'm very passionate about music. I would probably just do concerts if it was just up to me, but obviously the Lord had another plan. I think I just talked too much in between songs. The next thing you know, I got ordained. So.
And which is a good thing, because you're helping a lot of people. And we always talk about in the movement is the power of one can lead to the power of many. And you really don't know what small act that you may say or do, or a song that you may write or create or play in front of someone that may literally change the lives of millions tomorrow. We are that powerful as a people. And you're living proof of that. That's for sure.
Words are powerful in his life and death and the power of the tongue. I've gotten some just extraordinary letters and things from people. I mean, especially when they write a letter today, you know, they really went out of the way to, one guy wrote me and said that he saw us, we played a concert and I was speaking at a conference, a prophecy conference, and they ended up getting our album, Walking in Authority, which was a double album. And he said it changed his life. It changed his wife and his children's life, because it took away the spirit of fear of the future for them. And I've had other people tell me the songs are kind of like, you know, a lot of my songs are like mini sermons built into the lyrics. So I thought, you know, when you learn the ABCs, you learned it with a melody. I think sometimes I could reach a lot more people with one well-crafted song than I can in thousands of sermons.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what kind of riding do you do? You're an equestrian, obviously. My wife has a horse. It's half thoroughbred and what's the other? Frisian.
Right. Oh, lovely.
What do you like to ride?
I have a Tennessee Walker. It's like another child. He's 27 right now, so you know, not doing as much riding as we used to. But I painted some of the Olympians in dressage. You know, hung out with the hunted jumper crowd and studied with some of the horse whispers. So
horses are just unbelievable animals. I mean, they truly are. Just being in the presence of them it's very therapeutic. You know, I don't ride, but my wife's obviously very, very passionate about it. But just being in the presence of that horse, it just does something. It makes you feel better.
Yeah, I think it was it Winston Churchill? Sir Winston said it was the outside of a horse is good for the inside of man.
That I'd never heard him say that. Read that quote. That is fantastic. Absolutely. 100%.
And somebody else to quote it, there's a lot of great quotes like that. It's nothing like it. I think with Benjamin Disraeli when he was prime minister, there's nothing like a good gallop to cure all manner of evil.
Amen. Amen. Now, you're currently, you said, in North Georgia?
I am. Yes.
Do you get to go back to the old empire? Do you get to go back to Great Britain much?
Yeah. I didn't during the COVID mania period so much, because I was pretty much going big, you know, once a year or so, once or twice. But I was back just a few months ago, and to my amazement, everywhere I went, I'd ask that question, you know, how many of you heard of, well, I remember back in 2012 in England, I asked a spirit-filled charismatic church, I said, hundreds of people, how many of you have ever heard of transhumanism? Nobody knew what I was talking about. They do now.
Yeah.
I've been warning the church for decades. I wrote a book called Unmasking the Future back in 2016. I was on a show with Kerry Madey and I in Scotland, and the guy had announced me, you know, Kerry's one of the first people, doctors, to come forward and reveal what's actually going on with the injections. And they said I'd written about all these things, you know, a decade ago. So, yeah, just trying to warn people what's going on. I think it's like important that we understand the things that are happening right now. Look, especially we've got the triple helix thing that's happening. I'm sure you know a little bit about that.
Yeah.
And most people don't. So, like, all over England, I would talk, and then people come up to me, including policemen, thanking me for sharing the truth and saying things like, you know, nobody's speaking about this stuff. No one in UK. I think the oppression there is even more severe than over here. But what I've been sharing is, like, you get, and I'm sure you know, you get 72,000 genes for your dad and 72,000 genes for your mom. And so that makes 144,000 genes, which is kind of interesting because that goes along with the 144,000 that are sealed from the tribes of Israel. In Revelations chapter 7, it talks about that. They're going to be here to evangelize once the church is caught up together with Christ forever. And so I think that's really significant. There's a lot to that. And we think about right now the chemtrails. It's contaminated the food and the water as well as the Gates of Hell Foundation's been actively, you know, doing this. I mean, a guy that wants to block out the sun and these foolish, well-educated individuals and scientists going along with this idea. What a great idea. Let's block out the sun, take down the trees. Don't use the wood for, you know, building anything. Just bury the wood. So just, I mean, I think we're looking again at the return of the Nephilim. And so the information's, you know, on the DNA, are we in the days of Noah? Are we in the days of Lot? You tell me.
Yeah.
So if that's significant, right? Because if 72,000 genes have been added to the human genome with these so-called gene therapies, so you got 72,000 genes for your dad, 72,000 genes for your mom, an additional 72,000 genes, well, that adds up to 216,000. And if you open your Bible to Revelation 13:18, and I'll paraphrase, you know, it says, wisdom's needed. Let the one with understanding solve the meaning of the number of the beast, which is, you know, the number of man, number 666. So if you multiply 600 times 60 times 6, that equals, surprisingly, 216,000. I'm sure that's just a coincidence.
Wow.
You got 666, you know, on the CERN logo and on the Kellogg's and Walt Disney and Google. I mean, they all got their 666, but this one is different because this one's, you know, under the skin, right?
Yep.
Like the wacko, because I shouldn't have called them that. Sorry, Lord. The individual, you all know Harari, you know, that's going around saying that thing about Jesus being raised from the dead and the Son of God, that's fake news. Well, the evidence would bury him if you actually ever examine the actual evidence. In fact, I've written two books on the Shroud of Turin. One was number one on Amazon for quite a long time. I co-wrote with a friend in England. So the second book, I've answered some questions on the Shroud showing, you know, that, you know, this is the signature of a virgin birth. So if you remember how the Illuminati, they're always trying to, I think they've got, you know, a law in the demonic kingdom. They have to tell you what they're going to do before they do it. So they're looking for the greatest opportunities. When are the most people going to watch? So, you know, they got the Olympics games, and they got the, you know, like, remember the one in the London Olympic Games at 2012, where they were showing you the COVID mania before it happened. They have the nurses and doctors singing and dancing and patients and some Nephilim looking guy with a big syringe walking around. So if you recall the Queen's Jubilee in 2022, when she was still present in this world, she's presented with a globe. You can look it up. You can find it on, you know, I'm sure YouTube still has it, or Google it, you'll find video of it. So she's presented with a globe. She presses down on the globe, which is said to officially represent the Commonwealth, unless it's representing the British monarchy that rules over the entire globe. That could be something else going on there. She presses the globe, it lights up, and in the arrangement of a triple helix, DNA helix, it lights up, it goes across the lawn, and it hits a tree representing the tree of good and evil. Remember, there's two trees. You know, the Lord gave us freedom of choice because he loves us that much. So I think this is a rather significant thing that the church ought to be aware of.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like a lot of them are, and they don't want to be, and they're kind of giving in to this agenda that's happening in front of our very eyes. And that's the frustrating part, is getting these folks to stand up and push back, because they just don't.
Well, we have to let our light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So I think about, too, like our DNA, in our thoughts under brain scans, they look like trees. Mm-hmm. And so that's another reason, you know, the tree of life, right? The tree of good and evil. It's all connected. It's all interconnected. So I don't think our Heavenly Father wastes anything in his economy except maybe those 2,000 swine that ran off through the cliff when he cast out the demonicing, the individual that with demonicing, gathering demonic act and making the first devil at him in history. But aside from that.
That's right. Well, Pastor Casper, my goodness gracious, thank you so much for your time. This was just a very in-depth conversation. I knew it would be, because you have so much knowledge and wisdom that you're bringing to the table, man. So we appreciate the heck out of you, sir.
Well, I'm so delighted to get to do this with you. So hopefully we can see you again sometime.
We would absolutely love that. Please, we'll make that a priority, that's for sure. Good luck on your release of Immortality.
We'll be in touch.
Yes, sir. Have a great day. God bless. Wow. Man, he guy has a wealth of knowledge. If you're not familiar with Pastor Casper McLeod, you know, just do a search on him. A lot of great interviews comes up. The guy's been at it for a very long time. Very interesting with some of the concepts and stuff. And I really like how he puts quantum mechanics and relates it to the Bible, because I think that conversation needs to continue to happen, because it's proving that God in fact indeed exists. Okay. And it is interesting, again, with the censorship, TikTok, we were going live and they took it down because we went against their community guidelines. But you know me, folks, I will not quit with giving you guys all the opportunity to listen into this information. It's just interesting that they're so afraid of conversation. They're so afraid of conversation, you know, and it's Marxism. That's communism at its worst. That's for sure. Prepper month is coming. It's right around the corner. We have two more months, the spirituality month. We're halfway through that in the month of March. Obviously, with the four pillars of being grassroots army strong, we got through physical, mental. Now we're getting through spiritual. Next month, which I'm very passionate, is financial, the financial pillar. Okay, to being grassroots army strong. And I am going to devote the entire month of April on teaching you how to get multiple sources of income. You have to. It is a necessity. Okay, you have to get a side gig. You have to get a side hustle. You have to have multiple sources, because we all are hurting right now. We truly are financially. Everything is way more expensive. They're not really talking about it, and it's going to get worse. The economic crisis is right around the corner. So my job as a leader of this grassroots army is to prepare you for that. And that's why I've been with you guys and talking about being physically and mentally and spiritually and now financially strong, because you have to prep for this stuff. And you have to start developing a side gig. And there's so many things that you can do. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the things that I do, the things that are out there. I'm going to give you examples. But you do not have an excuse with the technology today, with access to social media, with monetization that happens, with so many multi-level marketing companies out there. And they get a bad rap. But you have to find the one that you're going to resonate with, that you believe in. And I'm going to talk about the one that I'm involved in, that I've been involved with for a very long time. A lot of you guys know which one that is. But I'm going to save that for the month of April. But you have to start thinking and grasping the idea of having an extra source of income. Because I'm telling you what right now, if you can inspire folks, to make an extra $50 to $100 a month, even a month, all right? Just an extra. That's going to help. That's groceries for someone, right? For maybe a couple of days now. Back in the day, it'd be for a week. But no, I mean, it's inspiring others, all right? We have to have these conversations. We have to prepare because I believe the economic crisis is upon us because you can't do what America's doing right now and continue to spend. And the garbage politicians, they're not going to take the fall. They're not going to come out there and say, hey, maybe we should, you know, stop this thing. And maybe we should start devoting our money to other areas instead of sending it overseas and so forth. So they're not going to stop. So you have to prep. Okay. You have to prepare. And one of the last things I'm going to leave you is because Prepper Month is in the month of May. And I have some great people that are going to come on. John Hollerman. He has two books, Survival Theory. He's actually got a whole bunch of books. But the ones that I've just got done reading is Survival Theory 1 and 2. And he talks about the psychological component. And he talks about the experiment. I think it was the Milford experiment that Pastor Casper just talked about. But you need to educate yourself on this. It really is eye-opening. It really changed the way on how I view prepping on some of the things that I was doing that you don't need to be doing. And it's not to scare you, but it's to stay alert, to stay alive, to be aware of what possibly could happen, which 10, 20 years ago, yeah, you would think, yeah, maybe a percent, maybe a half percent. With everything that's going on with the invasion of our southern border, with all these people coming in, it doesn't take much to take down the grid. You know, they just had to target 16 of these facilities and they could literally put us back in the Stone Age. And for 18 months, it would take 18 months for us to get that grid back up because everything's made overseas. And I'm not even talking about like a solar flare or an EMP strike or anything like that. I'm just talking about something simple. Some people with some weapons that could take out 16 facilities that could basically take us down for 18 months. And it would be hell on earth at that time in America. And you would see the evil of people and what people are willing to do to survive. And John does a great, great, great books on what happens to educate you on the possibility. Okay. So that's Survival Theory 1 and Survival Theory 2. You can find them on Amazon, John Hollerman, and he's going to actually be joining us on the Grassroots Army podcast in May. And I'm really excited to have John on because the guy is a former SEER instructor with the Air Force. He's got his own company called griddownconsulting.com. You can go to his website and check him out, but I'm a fan. I really am. And the last thing I'm going to leave with is making sure that you prep with antibiotics, life-saving medical material, folks. You need this because if it does, the crap hits the fan, as they say, you're going to have need to have access to antibiotics. And before, these things would have been really hard to get. And I know there's a lot of companies out there that are allowing you to get them online now, but Dr. McCullough is started the wellness company. And I'm a fan of Dr. McCullough because he's been standing up ever since the beginning. And so I'm going to put my money to those folks that have been standing up. So you can order your life-saving medical emergency kit at twc.health/grassroots. The link is in the description of this video. When you go to the website with that link, make sure that you include the coupon code. If you do, in fact, buy anything, that coupon code is grassroots, of course. Right there. You'll get 10% off your order. And if you order the medical emergency kit, which includes antibiotics, antiparasitic, ivermectin, antifungal, and the anti-nausea, and there's several different antibiotics in there with a book on how to use them, that's going to save you like $30 off your order. So I encourage you, go to twc.health/grassroots, include the grassroots in the coupon code to get your 10% off. So until next time, keep standing up, keep fighting back, keep pushing back, because we're going to win this fight. God bless you. God bless the state of Michigan, of course, and always God bless these United States. Now I have to deal with commie TikTok. Gosh darn it. I've been deplatformed off them twice. Unbelievable.